Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel for the government. The district court erred when it denied Mr. Hardiman's motion to reduce his sentence based upon Title 18 United States Code 3582, which allows for a sentence reduction due to the crack cocaine retroactivity amendment that went into effect both in Mr. Hardiman's case, both on November 1, 2007 and November 1, 2011. When determining whether or not a person is eligible for the reduction, what the district court must determine is whether or not their base offense level has been lowered. If the base offense level has been lowered, then the person is in fact eligible. The district court at that point uses their discretion to determine whether or not they will in fact reduce a person's sentence. In Mr. Hardiman's case, the court decided that his base offense was not lowered, did not provide sufficient explanation, and so we are required to use the documents in the record. With regard to the crack cocaine amounts that Mr. Hardiman was sentenced upon, the record is not clear. During the guilty plea hearing, the government's agent provided some insightful information about the drug amount. The government's agent, William Gray, provided to the court that there were 2 kilograms of crack and powder cocaine. While that is not a specific crack cocaine amount finding, it is instructive in some respect. For instance, Mr. Hardiman was sentenced in 2006. The 2005 United States Sentencing Guideline Manual was used at that time. We know that in 2006 and today in 2012, if a person were sentenced for 2 kilograms of powder cocaine, that would be a marijuana equivalency of 400 kilograms, and that person would fall in offense level 28. So we know that the crack cocaine amount is the critical mass of the cocaine. The question is, what is the least amount of crack cocaine that could have been attributable to Mr. Hardiman that would have elevated his base offense level from 28 to 36? If we look at this, we know that at the time Mr. Hardiman was sentenced with the 2005 United States Sentencing Guideline Manual, that the crack cocaine equivalency, marijuana equivalency, was 20 kilograms. That has been lowered, of course, now to 3,571 grams. So when we look to see what would make up that huge difference, and again, we're not saying that the powder cocaine amount was the 2 kilograms. We just know that that is the amount of cocaine that is stated on the record. Okay, so we would need another 9,600 kilograms of marijuana in order to get to an offense level 36. The only way that can be accomplished is if there are 480 grams of crack cocaine. 480 grams of crack cocaine equals 9,600 kilograms of marijuana equivalency. And when combined,
under the 05 guidelines.
The 2005 guidelines, which would have been the applicable guideline at the time that Mr. Hardiman was sentenced. So if we take that amount, the minimum amount of crack cocaine that could have been used to get to a base offense level of 36 at the time of his original sentencing, that 480 grams today would result in roughly 1,714 kilograms of marijuana equivalency. If we combine that with the additional drug amounts, that would lower his base offense level to 32. If we increase the amount of crack cocaine, it may only lower it to 34, but we do know that all facts weighing in favor of the government, the base offense level is lowered at least 2 levels.
What if we do this calculation sufficient to aim for the high end of the old 36 range, 30,000 kilos of marijuana?
Your Honor, if we look to aim for the facts on the record would never get us there. I would like to start there. The facts on the record would never get us there because if we were to use...
Well, the problem is the silence of the record. This is an interesting attempt to tease out from what clues we've got. The party stipulated to an equivalence of 10,000 to 30,000. So 30,000 kilos of marijuana under those guidelines would have been, 1.5 kilos of crack?
That is correct.
Okay. that's still less than level 36, right?
That is correct. Under the retroactivity, and that is the point of Mr. Hardiman, Your Honor, it is impossible for his base offense level not to have been lowered, no matter what calculation is used to determine the crack cocaine amount. His base offense level is lowered at least two levels. It is possibly lowered four, but it is definitely lowered at least two. So the court's determination that he's not eligible for a reduction is flawed, and it is certainly an abuse of discretion. And that is why we would ask that this court find that he is, in fact, eligible for a reduction and remand to the lower court so that they can make a determination of whether or not his sentence should, in fact, be reduced in light of his eligibility.
If it got moved to the range you wanted in, the level you wanted in the range, could the same sentence be meted out?
Your Honor, it could be. However, what we have found in doing the crack cocaine retroactivity cases is that if a person is sentenced at the high end of the guideline range, they tend to be resentenced at the high end of the new range. When they are sentenced at the low end, like Mr. Hardiman, they tend to be resentenced at the low end of the applicable guideline range. That has been consistent throughout our district and with our judges, and we would anticipate that if his guideline level were lowered, that he would, in fact, receive a new sentence at the low end of the new advisory range.
If we changed it, we'd be changing the rules, too, for them to consider, right?
Right. If the court has no further questions. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you.
Your Honors, may it please the court. My name is Matt Brookman. I'm here on behalf of the government, and I'm asking this court to affirm the district court's decision not to reduce the sentence of Mr. Hardiman. Section 3582 gives the district court discretion to reduce a sentence when the guidelines have been amended. Guideline policy statement 1B1.10 provides sort of the rules on how the court goes about doing that. That section of the guidelines provides that in order for the court to consider a sentence reduction, it first has to make a calculation as to what the amended range would be under the new amended guidelines, and it has to do that before it can even consider whether the person's eligible for a sentence. In this case, the district court had nothing to work from to decide what the amended guideline range would be, and based on that, it found that the guidelines had not changed. In other words, he was at 10 to 30,000 kilograms of marijuana at the original sentence. He would still be 10 to 30,000 kilograms of marijuana because that guideline did not change. And as a result, the court was unable to calculate a new sentence or a new guideline range and declined to reduce the sentence. The underlying sentence in this case was pursuant to a plea agreement. The plea agreement provided simply that the government and the defendant stipulated to a guideline range of 36 based on the 10 to 30,000 kilograms of marijuana, and that 10 to 30,000 kilograms was an aggregate of marijuana, crack cocaine, powder cocaine, and heroin. This was a multi-drug distribution conspiracy. It spanned over a couple of years. There was testimony in the factual basis about amounts of cocaine, both powder and crack, that were seized during the course of the investigation. That certainly wasn't exhaustive or a number that could really reliably be used as the basis to start calculating a guideline range. In hindsight, I wouldn't negotiate a plea like this again where there isn't a specific amount. But back in 2006, I had no idea I would be here looking at a 3582 with the guidelines amended too. And I can provide some explanation why we negotiated this sentence the way we did.
It obviously saves an awful lot of conflict and trouble. Yeah, this guy was part of the PSR seems to indicate there are a lot of related cases, networks overlapping, and so on. I can imagine what a mess this would be. But if 30,000 kilograms of marijuana is equivalent to 1.5 kilos of crack, I think that math is right, under the 2005 guidelines.
Right.
It seems like the crack must have really been the driver on the calculation here. Right?
Well, And this isn't part of the record, but I can explain that if the court will allow, and you can use it for whatever it's worth. This is a negotiated plea. Mm-hmm. The government, I thought at the time that it was a level 38 could be proven if the mm-hmm. defendant went to trial. The defendant wanted to plead guilty and avoid a trial, save the government the expense and the time, and take the uncertainty out of it. So I agreed to a level 36. There were amounts of heroin, there were amounts of marijuana, there were amounts of powder cocaine, all those things factored in, but we sort of shorthanded it.
Is that part of the record that all these different drugs were included?
It is part of the record that the sentence was based on multiple drugs, the cocaine, the crack cocaine, powder cocaine, heroin, and marijuana, but that we simply shorthanded it and agreed to a 36 is not part of the record. It's just part of the plea agreement contains that we agreed to a level 36. The defendant was, and I should throw in as an aside, Mr. Hardiman was also had a prior felony drug conviction, so he was facing potentially, if he had gone to trial, an 851 information that would have made his sentence a 20-year minimum sentence, and not all of this would be academic. But that wasn't filed either.
That was part of the deal.
It was part of the deal, although it wasn't stated in the plea agreement. It was not filed. He was allowed to plead guilty without that being filed. Yes, sir. So at the end of the day, I guess the bottom line is, again, I wouldn't do it this way again if I knew then what I know now. However, what the court's left with in all of this is the fact that it has nothing to base an amended guideline range on. And without that, I think the court was reasonable in deciding that it couldn't do that, and I certainly don't think that was an abuse of discretion. If there aren't any other questions, I would note that 3582 has been found that it's not a plenary sentencing. We can't have a do-over. We can't have another sentencing hearing and decide what these amounts are. If there were facts in the original sentencing hearing or original PSR that would allow the court to come to a conclusion, that certainly would be a possibility, but there just aren't those facts here.
Judge Young made the decision not to make the changes that counsel's suggesting today. The same argument was made in the district court.
The argument made in the district court, it's interesting. The argument made for the amended guideline reduction was originally a pro se argument that really didn't make this argument. It made arguments that I've been good in prison and things like that. There was counsel appointed, not my opposing counsel today, but there was counsel then appointed. And interestingly enough, that counsel, I filed a response saying, look, there's a lot of drugs involved in this case. He was violent. He was found to possess a firearm. All reasons why he shouldn't receive a reduction, even if he were eligible. The opposing counsel who filed a reply to that said that, look, we can't tell what the drug amount is because there's been no finding on that. So, and I think ultimately I think that was right as I get here today. So I don't have anything further. I'd ask the court to rely on the appellate brief. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Scott? Yeah, I didn't realize you didn't have any time, but we're in a generous mood today. You can have another minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, counsel doesn't have the luxury of relying upon anything aside from the record. I wasn't party to the original negotiations. I did not represent Mr. Hardiman on his original case, and I certainly have no intimate familiarity with the conspiracy at large. But I do know that the record contains certain information, specifically paragraph 13 of the pre-sentence investigation report, which was adopted by the district court, as well as the testimony by Agent Gray. And that testimony provides some instructive amounts of cocaine that were used for purposes of sentencing Mr. Hardiman. I can't control that there was a larger conspiracy and that those facts were not applicable to Mr. Hardiman during his sentencing hearing. But for purposes of Mr. Hardiman's case, he is eligible for a reduction because his base offense level is lowered, no matter how the pie is sliced. Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.